Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, May 9th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how's it going, Brian?
What up?
What up?
That's what the kids say, right?
That's totally what the kids say. And then they're like, hey, what an apple for? And then this is where John is supposed to say, what's an apple for?
That's where I say, fascinating.
John, you totally ruined my joke, because this is where I'm supposed to come back and say, an apple's for eating, it's a fruit. But you just ruined my joke. Thank you. Anyhow, John Martellaro is here, joke killer.
Spock ears on.
I'm glad you're here, John, even though you didn't bite for my joke.
Ooh, I got that.
Well, all right, I'll take it as I can get it. But hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Bushel. I'm pretty excited about that. I'll talk about that soon. But before we get to that, Brian, you wrote a really interesting piece on Friday, and I wanted to take a look at that. And this was the piece where you looked at the reports that Apple Music Connect may be changing significantly or potentially going away, and how this fits in with the company's long track record of neglecting things.
Yep. So 9 to 5 Mac, Mark Gurman reported that iOS 10 is going to be demoting Connect. Connect is the sort of social networking platform that Apple introduced with Apple Music. So technically, I think in iOS 8.4, that provided a way for artists and fans to connect with one another. Fans could follow an artist and get access to all sorts of exclusive content that artist theoretically posted to Apple Music.
And which sounds great.
That sounds wonderful. I thought it was terrific. Now, there are lots of people who think that Apple should have also made it possible for fans to connect with each other as part of this. Whatever. I was actually interested in Connect as it was announced, and the problem is that it was just always a poop storm to begin with. I mean, it was implemented poorly. Artists had all sorts of complaints about, you know, not being able to easily upload content, not being able to get any information about who was following them. And I don't mean from that standpoint of using Apple Connect as some sort of a profile gathering tool, but even like to know how many people were viewing their content. I mean, there was just it was a mess, and it was hard to actually find some of the content, and it's just a mess. It's one of these things that Apple just has this long history of rolling out a product, and then it seems like they take all the people that were making that product and then they just move them on to something else, and then it sits there and languishes. And we have this long history of stuff that gets eventually neglected. And my sort of short list was this was sparked by people saying that it looked like Connect had been pinged, as in
ping, like Apple's previous social networking music thing.
I think that was Kirk also, McElhern. I saw that from,
and lots of people said it, but you know, that shouldn't be a thing. Is like something having been pinged shouldn't be a thing. That's only a thing because Apple allowed it to be a thing. But the thing is that even if being pinged wasn't a thing, we could say it had been iTools or .Mac'd or homepaged or iDisked or apertured or iLifed or iWorked or HomeKitted or iAdded or WebObjected or Mac Pro'd
or Apple's Thunderbolt displayed.
I mean, you know, this this kind of, to a certain extent, goes back to that piece that John Key wrote for us last week about how Apple has just failed to scale. I mean, you know, they're adding content, but it just seems like it's harder than ever to get updates out of the company.
Can I weigh in on this?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I kind of feel sometimes like Apple sets up these web services and says, well, this is how we want it to work. These are the considerations. This is what we, how it fits in with our architecture. Here's the security implications. Here's how we're going to roll it out. And then people don't take a liking to it or find it hard to use. And Apple doesn't respond to that. They say, well, this is how it is. You should be overjoyed. Use it as it is and make good use of it and you'll be happy. And people tend to say, no, as you said, Brian, find it difficult to do the things I want to do. And I don't know if the blame is completely on Apple on that part, because sometimes people have preconceived ideas about how they want the service to work. But I do blame Apple for not responding and making adjustments.
You know how Microsoft has like the long running sort of, not really a joke, but sort of a joke about Microsoft is that, you know, they finally get it right the third time.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. 3.0.
Mm-hmm. It's because they keep at it. They keep at it and they keep working on the thing that they've rolled out until it doesn't suck as much. And it, like, Apple, like, puts it out there, and then it's done.
Well, so is Apple,
unless it's a big hit.
And that brings up my second point, Brian.
Yeah, go ahead.
That is that we've watched Apple catch the wave and relentlessly move forward into the future and leave behind things that are unprofitable. So Apple has this mentality that if it doesn't work, there must be something wrong with it, or if it isn't making any money, you know, and we need to move on to the next big growth item. And your comment about Microsoft really applies, because a big company, I think, needs to make a decision about what it wants to be and how it wants to function and what services it wants to provide for the sake of being Apple. And if it isn't making money and it's important for Apple to do, and it's important for Apple's image and the halo effect or support, like, for legacy
the
customers,
Mac Pro.
Yeah, then they should stick with something that they should make a decision. They should figure out their strategy and say, these are the things that are maybe not making money or not growing, but these are the things that we're famous for and we want to be known for and we're going to stay with. And if something's important to us and it's not working in a Microsoft fashion, we'll stay with it and we'll fix it until it does work. I wish they'd do that.
So maybe in that sense, Apple's kind of ADD.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But let's go back to Ping. There is no reason why Ping shouldn't have been a huge success. There is actually one reason why it wasn't. Apple integrated it into Facebook without Facebook's agreement, and Facebook yanked their access to the API away, right?
Yep,
and then
killed it right there.
Well, it killed it right there, except the way it should have gone down is that Apple turned around and said, oops, sorry about that, Facebook. You're right. We should have gotten with you. What do we need to do to make this work? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they should have banged their heads against this until Ping worked. Ping was cool. There's a lot of stuff that Ping did that was really cool. There's a lot
they
of stuff that Connect does.
They would have had to go hat in hand to Facebook and say, help us fix it. And Ping and Facebook would have been in a position of power. And Apple doesn't like that.
Yeah, well, Apple needs to get over itself sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, social networking never works on the first go, right? I mean, who gets social networking right with version 1.0? You know, let's have a version 1.01 sometimes from Apple. let alone a 1.1 or a 2. I mean, you know, that's crazy talk there. This comes back to the fact that Apple has so many resources, so much money, and
I hear you, Brian.
I'm getting so frustrated. You know, I know that I've been down on Apple a lot for the last month. I really think a lot of things have come to a head for me. I still love the company. I still love the company's products. And by and large, the company's products are better than everybody else's products. But I want this stuff I want the stuff that they put out to work, because it's getting to the point where like with HomeKit right now, I don't feel like I can make an investment in HomeKit, because I honestly don't have a lot of confidence that it's going to be around. It's going to be a thing.
I totally get that. It's no secret that I've just dived in, eyeball deep into HomeKit and smart home stuff. And actually, I blame Kelly Gumont for this, because I resisted for a while. But that's not the point. The point is, I've been experimenting with this stuff to see how it works and to be able to recommend things to people. And it's really hard to recommend anything to people if they want to use HomeKit. I don't have the confidence that it's, at least not yet, that it's going to stick around.
Apple didn't take a leadership role, and Apple didn't telegraph to us that this was fundamental.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, no, Apple did. I actually thought that HomeKit was like something that Apple was throwing its everything at when it's announced. It's just in the, what is it? How long has it been? Almost 2 years now?
And the
2 years since, we just haven't seen a lot of much of anything to do with HomeKit coming from Apple.
And why is that?
Why is that?
Yeah. Is it because they lost interest? Is it because they thought that the market was too complex and they had to pull back and let the thing sort itself out? That they thought maybe taking a leadership role and solving our problems for us, helping us, was not something that they could do or wanted to do? Or maybe the team...
Or is this an issue of the fact that...
Maybe they want
Apple's,
to work on the car?
Apple's modus operandi of having, you know, this small group of people that is essentially responsible for everything, that it's reached the point where it no longer works. That's a scary thought, but it may be.
I don't like that thought. Yeah. Well, you know, as long as you've brought HomeKit into this, you know, there's the report that we're going to get an Apple app that comes with iOS 10 that gives us a unified interface for managing HomeKit stuff.
Oh, wait, hold on. 214's on the phone and it wants my excitement back.
Yeah. Because we've had HomeKit since iOS 8. Is that right?
Sort of.
It kind of started to happen, and
that's actually only a year, and it's not quite 2 years, but whatever.
All right. So anyhow, let's call it a year and a half. In a year and a half, we haven't seen anything remarkable from Apple out of the HomeKit space, and now we're getting this word that there might be a unified app that third parties have already created, and people are. Have found these things and are using those. And I'm wondering if this is just a point where Apple should have let it go and maybe work on fixing things with the platform as opposed to coming up with their own interface.
Well, I mean, that's part of fixing the platform, in my opinion. Apple needs to be in charge of that controlling concept.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be left up to third party developers. Glory be to them for stepping up, but that's not anything they should have had to step up to do in the first place.
Right? Yeah. When HealthKit was rolled out, we got the health app, and it made sense. We had a unified interface for all of our health and fitness data, and then HomeKit launches, and I remember seeing people on Twitter buying HomeKit compatible products and then asking for help. How do I actually program this stuff?
Well, you make it sound like it happened almost immediately, and that didn't even happen almost immediately, because Apple took forever to start actually okaying anything for HomeKit.
Yes, that's a really good point. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, HomeKit has been a poop show so far. I don't want poop shows. I don't like them.
No, I'm not into the poop show thing either, and it is really frustrating. And I want to be excited about Apple's own app for HomeKit, but right now I'm not.
Well, you know, maybe this is the exception that proves the rule, right? Maybe this is the start of where we want to be with HomeKit. Maybe, you know, I'm still an optimist in my heart. Right.
So,
you know, I'm willing to be hopeful. I just don't have much hope in it.
No, I totally get it. And when I really think about this and I'm really honest with myself, I'm very hopeful about HomeKit. But at the same time, I'm also very concerned. My consolation is that all the products that I have picked up and been testing and figuring out how to make them all work together, if I can't rely on HomeKit in the future, if this then that still works, and apparently all this stuff works great with Amazon's Alexa Echo. So
yeah, because yeah. I want Amazon listening into every aspect of my life 24/7. Okay. That's what I want.
That problem does concern me, but this stuff can be done.
It concerns me for a couple of reasons. By the way, where's John? You gonna chime in on this, John?
Well, I'm not my attitude is, I've expressed it before, is that I'm looking for a problem that needs solving. And I don't really feel like I need to jump in and experiment because I have enough of things on my plate. So I'm like a normal consumer amongst us. I'm not an expert. And so I look around and I say, what are my options? What are my problems? What are my solutions? And I'm not seeing that Apple has given me anything I need.
If not being an expert means that I should keep my opinions to myself, I am in trouble.
So I'm just kind of watching the whole thing, and I'm going, you know, what do I need? What problem is lurking out there that I desperately need a solution to? But I'm really more interested in why Apple sort of held back. Was it because the industry sort of telegraphed to Apple, like, you know, look, this is a big industry, it's huge, we're going to go our own way, we're going to set our own standards, we're going to do our own things.
Stopped Apple before.
But I know. So why didn't Apple just carve out a piece of it and say, we're going to attack this specific problem and we're going to deliver an integrated, beautiful solution that just works with a great GUI. And here's a limited set of things that we can engage in and then grow from there. That didn't happen either. And I still don't know why.
And this is why this matters to me. Apple is the one company that I trust to have this intrusive place in my life. I.e. being all over the gadgets and devices and light bulbs and microphones in my house. I don't trust Amazon with that. I don't trust Google with that. Right. Not only from a standpoint that I don't want even more of my life part of their marketing machine, not only from that standpoint, but from the standpoint of those devices being used against me by malicious actors.
Well, that's a legit concern.
For Apple to cash in on that, there has to be executive team directive. And my take there is that the executive team was too distracted to say, yes, take ownership of this.
Cash in, maybe too small, John.
Cash in on our trustworthiness and make us the leaders. Some executive team member had to go to a vice president and say, you have the authority, make this happen. We are a trusted company. We are the home automation experts and privacy leaders. Do it. And maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, and hammer that message. You know, wouldn't that be awesome if Apple became the home automation experts?
That would be really cool.
Right, because right now no one's thinking. I mean, no company can lay claim to that mantle. Apple should. Mm-hmm. Apple should. It would be, anyway.
I would love that. Maybe that's where part of my hope is coming from. I'm buying all of this stuff. I'm testing it all out. I'm troubleshooting pretty much every single day to figure out why something's not working right. But I've got the hope that Apple's going to become the expert in this, and all of a sudden I'm going to have the coolest, most amazing smart home.
Hope springs eternal.
Yes, it does. Hey, we are pretty much out of time, but we have a sponsor, and I really want to tell people about that. And our sponsor is Bushel. And Bushel, what they do, it's called mobile device management. So it's a way for a person or a company to be able to keep track of all the iOS devices that they have. So, you know, you have an iPhone, you have a couple iPads, maybe you're working at a company where there's several people with iPhones and iPads, and you can manage the settings for all of those devices from a single web interface. You can even control or manage your Macs the same way. So right now, I'm using Bushel to keep track of my iPhone, the three iPads that I need to have, Mini, Air, and Pro, and then my Macs. And then I'm also keeping track of my parents' iOS devices because they have a problem where they lose their email settings and don't know what happened. And then I can just push those settings right back out to them and they're back in business. It's pretty cool how that works. I really like Bushel because for me, it's giving me that control I need over managing settings for all these devices, making sure that everything has the right version of the operating system because I can just look and see what it has. And I like this for businesses where they have a bunch of devices they need to manage for their employees, but they don't have the budget or the IT staff to make that happen. This is so easy to set up and use. It's like really easy to set up and use. And it's really inexpensive. You can control, or I keep saying control, you can manage three devices for free. Just you pick your three, you sign up for your account, no money, period. That's it, just free. If you need to manage any more devices, then it's $2 a month per device. And that's it. Easy, simple, and inexpensive. I just love it. So I'm a happy Bushel user. You should be too. Head over to their website, bushel.com/TDO. And when you go there, you can sign up, get your free account, and start managing devices right away. And when you use that URL, bushel.com/TDO, that lets them know that you heard about Bushel here, and they like that. It's like a nice, warm, fuzzy validation for everyone. So check it out, bushel.com/TDO. Thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Brian, thank you for being here today. You were so not muted. Expecting me to thank you right then, were you?
I was muted because, you know, I wasn't.
Because anyway. You are a consummate professional.
Have you just met me? Anyway, thanks for having me, man. It's been good.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
And see that, Brian? John wasn't muted. Mm-hmm. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Check them out, bushel.com/TDO. We will see everyone again tomorrow.